scripture this morning, come from 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Beginning in verse number 1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon with mortality, might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Whether we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I'll ask Chris if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we count another honor and privilege just to be in the house, Lord, and worship your sweet and holy name. Lord, we ask you now that you come in and meet with us. Lord, you touch and bless every heart here in this place, Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with those who are sitting afflicted on the prayer list and lost and undone. Lord, if there be one under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you in a free part of sin, Lord, I pray you'll put conviction on them, heaven and real. You'll save them before it's everlasting too late. Lord, you touch this man of God. Lord, you preach and use him. Touch his body and his voice. He's a blessing to us. Lord, you continue to help this little church, help it grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Lord, you be with our pastor. You touch his body and voice, according to your divine will, Lord. And Lord, you be with all those who have sounded my voice, Lord. And Lord, you just help them. Bless them, Lord. Give them what they need. Give us open ears to hear thus saith the Lord. And everything is done and said, we're fired unworthy of it and ours. And say, Jesus, done it all. Amen.
Past couple times, the Lord has allowed us to be up here. We've got to look at how our walk with Jesus would actually pan out in the eyes of the Lord. And today, I venture to say we're going down the same path with what's in my heart. But as we look here, Paul's writing. As we see that the letter here in 2 Corinthians, it is not divided up by chapters in so much it is one letter written to the church. So what's going on in chapter number 5 has been pulled out of a thought from chapter number 4. And we see that in chapter number 4, he's talking about the trials and some of the burdens that they face and the possibility of getting through those things because of the mercy and the grace of God. Not in their own self, but by the hand of God.
Yes.
And as Paul continues to write, we see that his focus begins to shift as we come into chapter number 5. It's not so much about the burdens that they're facing, even though there's a hint of that mentioned in the first 5 verses, but it's more about the glory of God and desiring to be with the Lord. Yeah. And we would start out in verse number 1, and it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we would have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens."
Yeah.
We look here in the first verse, and when Paul mentions the house, he's talking about the body that we're robed in down here in this walk of life. And I begin to read these verses, and I begin to think what Paul might have had going through his mind at this point in time. And I believe he's got his eyes focused on heaven, and his desires are to be with the Lord as he begins to write chapter number 5. And he says, and he talks about the earthly house being dissolved. In the first part of verse number 4, he talks about a groaning, but he says being burdened. Paul's looking back at the burdens and the trials and the tribulations that he's had in his life thus far and all the problems that have taken place that have seemed to turn his world upside down. And Paul's looking at it and he's saying, you know, one of these days all that's going to be passed away. I'm no longer going to have to deal with the burdens and the trials of life. He's saying, the Lord has already revealed to me, He's already shown me through His mercy and His grace that this life is going to pass away.
Yeah.
We see a desire for Paul's life. He's not so much wishing for death to come, but he's wishing for his spiritual side to spend eternity with the Lord. Death is not something that you and I would look forward to. It's not something that we would desire to happen to us. I mean, there's fears around death. There's an uncertainty around death. But the spiritual side inside of a child of God would desire to be with the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And that's where Paul's at. And he said, one of these days, he said, all the burdens that I've had to face, he said, they're going to pass by. He said, they're going to be gone. They're going to be put behind me. And he says, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, when I step out of this walk of life, when I draw my last breath here, he said, and I take my next breath on life's other side, he said, this fleshly body's been laid down. He said, my spiritual body within me is going to step into a glorified body. He said, not made by man, not corrupted by man, not touched by man. It's going to know no sin. He said, it's been made by God. It's going to be able to, I believe Paul's looking forward, and the excitement that you begin to sense that he's talking later in the verses, he's thinking, you know, this is a body that's going to not only know what sin is and not know what trials and not know what tribulations is, but it's going to be a body that's going to be able to worship the Lord as the Lord has so desired for you and I to do.
Yes.
We're not able to stand in the presence of God. But Paul's saying there's coming a day that I'm going to be able to stand in the presence of God to worship Him. I get to thinking about what it's going to be like standing before God. I get to thinking about the worship that John had mentioned takes place over in Revelations around the throne of God and bowing down before Him and the glories around the throne of God. How it's going to be to stand before Him for the first time face to face and look at Him. And I can only imagine the excitement that Paul was experiencing as he was writing these verses. But in verse number 3, he also mentions being clothed, and we shall not be found naked. He's just saying once salvation comes in, he said once the blood's been applied to our heart and life, there's going to be no point where we're going to be separated from God. There's going to be no point where I draw my last breath here and step into a purgatory and have to decide heaven or hell. There's going to be no point at any time in my life since salvation that there's going to be separation between me and God. I've got the Holy Spirit covering me down here. When my last breath is drawn here, I'm going to step into a glorified body over there.
Yeah.
Paul's looking at that in the heart of worship, thanking the Lord for what He's done. But he's telling them, he said, I can go through what I'm facing down here in this walk of life because I'm not going to have to endure it forever.
Yeah.
He said, there's coming a day that it's going to be better for the child of God.
Amen.
Verse number 2, he would go on. He says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. He talks about an earnest desire. That's a deep, a serious longing inside of his heart and his life. But he talks about a groan. And the groan that he's talking about here in verse 2 and in verse number 4 is something that every child of God should be able to identify with. As I was younger, I was saved, but coming up, I didn't long to go home as much as I do now. It seems like the older I get, the more that things are revealed how wicked this world really is. How this is not really the home for the child of God. You say, is there not things that you want to see down here? There's things that I would like to accomplish. There are plans that I have that I would like to see take place. But when it comes to the things of God, as Paul has talked about, I would rather spend from now to the rest of all eternity with the Lord than to spend time down here in this walk of life. That's the desire, that's the pull for the child of God. Everything that you and I would experience in a daily walk of life, it seems like this world has got more wicked and more vile. Even with this virus that's taking place, it's just unfamiliar feeling about it. It's like there's a pull for the child of God to move closer to the Lord. It's like the desire to go home is beginning to get stronger.
Yeah.
And Paul's just saying the longing down inside of me. He said, I'm a desire to go home to be with the Lord. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you don't have that desire in your heart, something's wrong.
Yeah.
I would be doing some checking up. I would make sure that I was saved. And then I would make sure that I was right where God would have me to be and ready to go home to spend eternity with Him. But He's just saying, I'm a longing to go home. I'm a longing to get out of the trials that I'm in. I'm a longing to get out of the persecution that I've had to face. I'm a longing to escape everything that's turmoiled my life down here and turned my world upside down. He said, I'm longing to go home just to be able to worship the Lord. That's where Paul's at in his life. And he's telling the church of Corinth, he said, there is a better day for the child of God. And I can say, resting assured inside of my heart, there's a better day coming. You say, how do you know? You've never seen it. Because I felt what He's done inside of me. I might not be perfect down here in this walk of life, but I feel what the Lord has done inside of my heart. And I know that there's a desire and a pull from life's other side for me to go home to be with Him. He would go on down. Verse number 4, it says, for we that are in the tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He talks about groaning for the things of the Lord again, for the glorified body, for no more sickness, for no more trials, no more tribulations, no more burdens of this life. And he said, but that is not a desire to get away from the things of God down here. It's just a desire for me to get closer unto God and a desire to go on home. When he talks in the latter part of verse number 4, and he says that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I can't help but think that Paul's talking about the rapture of the church taking place at the end of this verse. He's not talking about death that's been long and drawn out. But he's saying this mortal body all of a sudden being changed into an eternal body. He's talking about the rapture for the child of God. Paul's desiring for the Lord to come back. Paul's got a longing in his heart for the Lord to come back. I want to tell you, I feel the same in my life, but Paul's drawing it all to a conclusion in verse number 9 and 10, in case you hadn't figured that out yet. Verse number 5, he says, now that he's wroth us for the selfsame thing, is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. These verses, especially verse number 6, he says, therefore, he's looking back at the first 5 verses, and he said, we're confident. He said, I can go on through the entirety of this life till the Lord will call me home to be with Him. And I can face every trial. I can face every hardship. I can face the darkest valleys imaginable because of the love and the grace of God. And because one day it's all going to draw up to a conclusion. He said, I'm confident that while I'm here in this body, he said that we're absent from the Lord, that we can walk by faith and not by sight. He said He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to be do away with anything when it comes to the child of God. He's going to be down here with us until He draws us home. But Paul says in verse number 8, we are confident, I say, that willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. Paul said, but even though I'm confident I can go through this life with the Lord, he said, I desire to be with the Lord, whether it be through the rapture in verse number 4, or whether it be through death, I believe he's talking about in verse number 8. Paul's not desiring to go through pain and suffering as far as death is concerned. But he's desiring for this flesh to drop off and for us to be in a glorified body with the Lord. You and I would look at these verses and we could get excited with inside of ourselves. We could worship in the fact that, of knowing that we're going home. And if somebody would come inside of the house of God and they begin to testify about going home, and the desire to go home and the pull to go home, you and I could identify and we would worship saying that we were ready to go to be with the Lord. But then Paul would put in verse number 9 and 10. Verse number 10 we'll deal with first. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I desire to go home to be with the Lord. There's a pulling to go home to be with the Lord. You know, if somebody would say, what if the rapture take place in the next 5 minutes? It'd excite me knowing that I would spend all eternity with Him in the glorified body that Paul had talked about. But then the second thought is I've got to stand accountable. I've got to stand in judgment before any of the marriage supper of the Lamb and before the new heaven and new earth, before any of that takes place and worship around the throne. I've got to stand accountable before a righteous and a holy God. That scares me to death. How have I lived my life down here up to this point? I'm saved. I know that without a shadow of a doubt.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
And you can be saved and know that you're on your way to heaven, but never do anything for the Lord.
Mercy.
And I fear that's where a lot of Christians are at today in their life. They've got complacent on God. They want the easy route. They want to know what the good things are in this life, but they want to go to heaven. It's not about serving God so much down here and bringing honor and glory to His name as it is about the self. You know, I wonder how we're going to really appear unto ourselves when we can see as we're seen of God. You know, you think about standing before God in judgment and people talk about all the rewards that's going to be issued out. And I look at my life and I thank the Lord. If somebody was serving me the way that I've served you, I wouldn't give them a thing. And I wonder how many of us would be in that boat. Am I going to be able to stand before Him in judgment with my head held high, knowing that I've given Him everything that I've got as far as worshiping and serving Him down here? Or am I going to walk up with my head hung down because I know without a doubt that I failed Him? Time and time and time again. I'm not talking about sin. We're not going to be judged for sin. That sin is cast out. It's as far as the east is from the west. The Lord's never going to bring my sin up. But He's going to bring up how I've served Him. How I've worshipped Him. People talk about being faithful to the house of God. I'll be honest with you. I can sit on the church pew and not serve God. I'm talking about the other 6 days of the week when you're not in the midst of church people. How are you serving Him? How's your walk with the Lord? You know, that's where we've been the past few weeks that the Lord's allowed me to be up here. He's had us dwelling on what I would appear in the eyes of God as far as the way that I act towards God in my worship, in my prayer life, in my service unto Him. I'll tell you, I look forward to going home. But I dread the judgment that's coming.
Yes.
I wonder how many of us could actually change and be better for the Lord, but we have no desire inside of our heart to do so. You know, I wonder how many of us, if we actually give our life unto God and begin serving Him, how much His church could grow and how souls could come to know Him. I wonder if your life not being the service unto God or my life not being service unto God like it should is the hindrance to this church of growing. I wonder when I stand before God if He's going to call that out. And knowing that I've hindered this church from going to where it needed to be with Him. I wonder how many people that I've hindered from coming to know Christ because of the pride in my life. It says we're going to be judged for the good and the bad. But when I begin to look at my life, you know, He's all that's been good, and it seems like everything that I do is not amounted to very much. Lord, we fall short, church. We want the blessings and the touch of God, but we don't want to do anything for them. You know, just as if you're a parent and you can't just go out and win an award or a trophy,
for doing something good, that would make you happy and excited because of what they had achieved. He's our Heavenly Father that's waiting on us to just achieve something for Him. And we're letting Him down. You say, how do you know? I know myself. I can put on the right clothes and I can come to the house of God. I can sit on the church pew when the church doors is open and I can look right. I can have a conversation around the house of God and I can make everything sound right. I can make everything appear good to everybody in this place. But what's inside of my heart? That's what the Lord said. It don't matter a hill of beans to what y'all see of me. All that matters is what He sees. He's the one I'm standing accountable to. The problem is I've got my eyes on so many other things that I'm distracted by this world. I'm distracted by other things inside of the church. And my life is not right where God can use me. Lord, I've got to stand accountable for it. Paul says in verse number 9, he says, wherefore we labor, whether it be in present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Verse number 9, Paul's telling us, he said, whether I'm still here in this walk of life or whether I'm on life's other side, he said, I need to be acceptable in the eyes of God. And he said, the glory of God pushes me that direction, but He's saying that judgment that's coming, He said, should persuade me to try to serve and live for God. You're going to heaven either way if you're saved. If you're blood bought, you can't lose that salvation. But what are you going to be able to lay back at the Lord's feet one of these days? Is it anything? What am I going to be able to lay anything down at His feet to worship Him? Church, we fall short. We fall short. I wonder how many days of the week that I'm actually present in this body and pleasing unto God. I'm going to be pleasing one day when I'm in a glorified body, as Paul's talking about. But he says, absent from the Lord down here and still walking to be pleasing in the eyes of God. Amen. Lord, how many times have we failed? And then it goes on to verse number 11 in the first part. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Yeah. Know what Paul's saying? It ain't going to be fun and joking around while we're standing and waiting for God to issue out judgment.
True.
It ain't going to be something that you and I are happy about. It ain't going to be something that you and I are confident in when we step up before the Lord. Lord, I believe there will be a lot of broken hearts that day when it comes to how we serve Jesus. We failed Him, church. We fail Him on a daily basis. I'm just as guilty, if not more, than anybody else here. I want to tell you, we've got to make sure that our walk is right with God. That's not an easy thing. I could stand up here and I could tell you to do things and then going out and living, it's a different ball game. I can tell you to pray. I can tell you to read your Bible, and that's easy to say. But when we walk out of these doors, the struggle begins as we're faced with the oppositions of life. I'll tell you, that's something we got to be on our knees, making sure that you're right with God on a daily basis. I don't know what the need in your heart is. Maybe it is you ain't saved. Maybe it is you are saved and you just ain't giving everything to God like you should be. I'm going to have somebody come around and play a verse invitation. I don't care who it is. They're just going to play a couple verses. I don't know what the need on your heart may be today. But if the Lord's touching you, I'm not saying you got to come around. I know we're trying to distance. I call upon Him. I get things made right. We ain't promised tomorrow. I ain't promised next breath that I take. It would be a shame for me to know that my next breath would be my last and I had to stand before God not ready and not right.